Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. We will have Gentry Estes from the Tennessean joining us at 8 o'clock. We'll get back into the Vanderbilt and Tennessee regional discussion with him going up at 8 o'clock here on the show. So looking forward to that. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025 Rex Road. Speaking of baseball, a nice slide into the chair there to get back in for this segment.
Yeah, a little bit out of breath. Sorry. That's my morning workout. I mean, look, you know, it's one of those things. I had to wait for my big Starbucks here, you know, no free ads, but it's the Sandestin Starbucks, Sandestin Courtyard Starbucks. But it was like, there's a line. I'm like, man, if I don't get this, then I can probably try again at the top of the hour, the next hour. But I think I have to hang in here and give it a shot. So
you nailed it.
Took the stairs, didn't do the elevator, went stairs instead, got it done.
Very nicely done. Have you run into
my Stevia in there?
You run into your boy Sankey yet down there? Is he threatened to like beat you up yet?
I have not run into Sankey, but I will. I certainly will. So he's already a little bit fired up. I can see that. A little bit fired up. A little bit mad.
We're gonna get into that later this hour on the Greg Sankey front. Titans fans, you know, look, we all know this. It's been a rough couple of years for the Titans. There's some new hope in Cam Ward, but even that draft night, Cam Ward gets drafted and they immediately start talking about Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders, and Mel Kiper screaming for 2 days about Shedeur Sanders on the draft. So it's like, hey, where's the love for Cam Ward? Where's the love for the Tennessee Titans? And boy, did we find some this weekend with Colin Cowherd, of all people, throwing it out there that, boy, does he have high expectations for Cam Ward and the Tennessee Titans. Here's what Colin Cowherd had to say on his program.
There's four people, and only four in my opinion, that will change outcomes. Number one is Cam Ward, Tennessee. They were so hard to watch offensively, where even games they outplayed teams, Tennessee was so bad at quarterback with Will Levis, they lost games where they out-physicaled, out-schemed, and outplayed teams. Cam Ward is accurate, moves, coachable. I mean, Miami's had some good quarterbacks. He broke all the Miami records. There's a history of this league when guys come in without a lot of stars and without a lot of pats on the back. Nobody's pandering to them. That's jet fuel. So I think Cam Ward changes outcomes. I think Tennessee's going to be a playoff team.
So you heard it there from Colin Cowherd. Cam Ward changes outcomes, and he says he believes that the Tennessee Titans are a playoff team this year, Joe Rex. So your thoughts on Colin Cowherd's very optimistic take on Cam Ward and the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, there's a lot there to unpack, including all the times they outplayed, out-physical, and out-scheme teams last year. I guess I missed those. Yeah, I missed those games. But, yeah. So here's the thing with Colin Cowherd. I have to admit, I don't listen to him. And usually, like, the only times I ever see clips of Colin Cowherd or hear clips is when he says something stupid. I'm sure that's not all he does, right?
I'm sure.
Like he's obviously a very talented guy, very a huge audience. He's done very well. So I'm sure he has a lot of good takes. I just only see the bad takes. And my God, does he have some doozies? Oh, so I think it's interesting what he said about the, you know, the QBs who, like, early in their career, they don't have all the accolades. And he said there's a history in the NFL. Now I need to get into that a little bit. The obvious coming into the league guy who didn't have the accolades, who did great, was Tom Brady.
Yep.
We now have Brock Purdy here as you know, Mr. Irrelevant, getting a huge deal. So there's another example. I mean, Cam Ward's a different deal. He's the guy coming into college,
right,
who didn't have it, who built his way. Do we have other examples? I mean, I suppose when you have like a guy like Josh Allen or Jordan Love, I suppose there's examples of guys who over the course of college and even, in early in their years in the NFL, they got way better, right?
Right.
But I guess I've come up with a couple. My initial thought was, what is there really a big history of that? I mean, most quarterbacks in this league who are successful were certainly big recruits, and most of them were also high picks. Kirk Cousins is another example, by the way, of a guy who was not a big recruit and was a fourth round pick. So there's okay. I keep talking myself into more examples. So maybe he's got more of a point than I
I mean,
initially
the
thought.
Josh Allen one's a good one because I think both Ward and Josh Allen were zero-star recruits, right? So, I mean, Allen was a zero-star recruit, ended up at Wyoming, and he ends up obviously being a great player in the NFL. So, like, if you're looking for, I guess, the path, that one is similar. Like, Josh Allen didn't bounce around all over the place in college, but not being very highly recruited at all to then being an NFL superstar. I mean, Cam Ward's got a long way to go before he even enters into the same discussion as Josh Allen. But the zero star recruiting background developing into a high profile NFL prospect is very similar.
Yeah, look, and there, I definitely buy into why that could be good. If you start at Incarnate Word and you have to work your way up and you go, I don't think there's any question. That's just great experience as opposed to someone who is told they're amazing all along. Sometimes those guys are amazing, and
Right.
so it doesn't matter. They're like, here, I'm going to show you. You're right. I am amazing. But I do think that there's benefit to the path Cam Ward took. It's a very unique path. So, and I think that has, you can see how that's probably not just benefited him as a player and everything, but also I think his approach is probably informed by that. But also, there's a lot with him in terms of the intangibles, including on draft night, like the Titans talked about, his family and everything, His parents, military parents who pushed him, but they were good sports parents, examples of good sports parents. So there's a lot there's a lot to like about him. I don't think that Colin Cowherd is going to be joined by too many people also picking the Titans to make the
I don't think he is either,
playoffs.
but he's done it. And if you're a Titans fan looking for some love nationally, you got some of that over the weekend. What do you make of Colin Cowherd throwing it out there that Cam Ward loves everything about him? The Titans are a playoff team this year. We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The PFL World Championship semifinals coming up on Thursday, June the 12th at Municipal Auditorium. And you could be there. Text in the keyword match to 615-737-1025. Again, that's match to 615-737-1025. To be entered to win a pair of VIP ringside tickets, visit pflmma.com/schedule for more details. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Things you're looking for in phase three, Coach?
Yeah, you get a chance to actually, see guys work and compete. Everything so far in phase two is a very individual centered, as far as position groups, and it's unit centered. So you're doing a lot of things with unit, but you're not going up against anybody else. So you get a chance to actually guys compete a little bit. No pads on or anything like that, but get a chance to see now the schemes. Guys picking up things in real time and real speed and execution against an actual defense and an offense and a special team. So that's the part that you're your next step. So it's very teaching focused here in phase two. A lot of things schematically you're trying to get better at, working a lot of technique and fundamentals. And then you get into phase three, you get a chance to see a little bit more application of those things you're working on. So excited about that. It's a good fit part of the offseason. Last ramp up before training camp, really, when you're actually going against each other.
That's Brian Callahan last week discussing phase three of the offseason coming up for the Tennessee Titans. Training camp right around the corner. Taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. Colin Cowherd throwing it out over the weekend that he thinks the Titans are a playoff team. One texter, Joe, Texas Jay, says, I'll take any positivity for the Titans from the national media. I don't care how small it is, LOL. Mark from Ashland City says, my guess is he saw the Bears game and the Jets game last year and then stopped paying any attention to them. That's all I can think of to make that statement. This is from Mark from Ashland City, I guess talking about the out-scheming and out-physicaling teams.
Yeah, I was going to say last segment. I mean, if you watch the opener, then, you know, the Titans for a lot of that game looked good. And at the time, I think, I don't know that I necessarily bought this, but I think a lot of people thought the Bears were going to be at least, I think a lot of people picked the Bears to make playoffs last year, right? Am I wrong?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean,
it's
a lot
an
of people
annual
thought the
tradition.
Bears. Yes, yes. So that looked more impressive in the moment, handling the Bears. And then, of course, they blew it. But that's definitely an example of a game that you did a lot of good things, and your quarterback had the surrender cobra moment, and of course, you know, the miracle flip, and then of course your special teams also completely blew it. But yeah, I mean, let's be honest here. Colin Cowherd watched how many minutes of Titans football last year?
Not very many. I mean, I think now, granted, you know, I don't blame him for not watching very minutes of Titans football last year. Like, the Titans got to give you a reason to watch at some point. So, like, you know, I think a lot of what he said in that clip that we played is just kind of throwing stuff against the wall. I am looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook odds here, Joe. The Titans are plus 470 to make the playoffs, according to FanDuel Sportsbooks. There are four teams in the NFL, not the AFC, the NFL, that have worse odds than the Tennessee Titans to make the playoffs. Those four teams are the Jets, the Saints, the Browns, and at the bottom of the list, the New York Giants at plus 920 to make the playoffs.
Boy, New York football, I'll tell you what, it's a beautiful thing. Yeah, you know, look, the Cam Ward, we've already talked about the could this be the Texans of 2 years ago, the Commanders of 1 year ago? I mean, if Cam Ward is special right away, if he comes out, it's like, oh, my goodness. Yes, this clearly was the number one pick, and he's a legit number one pick kind of guy. Hey, it's possible. I still have questions about a lot of other aspects of the team, but he'd have to be quite special for this team to actually make the playoffs.
He would have to be, yeah, very special. I mean, the one thing I will say about, and again, I don't think the Titans are a playoff team or really, frankly, anywhere close to being a playoff team. But the one thing I will say that I think works to their advantage in this discussion, if Cam Ward comes in and is great and is really good, like they play in the AFC South. So that helps, right? Like when you're playing in a division that is as bad as this one looks like it could be, when you're factoring in Jacksonville and, you know, the tire fire in Indianapolis with their quarterback competition of, is it going to be Daniel Jones? Is it going to be Anthony Richardson? And, like, even Houston. Like, I look at Houston, and basically my thought on Houston right now, we talked about this last week, Joe, is, yeah, they're the best of the bunch. Are they probably significantly better than the Titans, the Jags, and the Colts? Yeah, but I don't view Houston as Buffalo or Baltimore or Kansas City or anything like that. So, like, the one thing I would say, like, for the playoff part of this is, if Cam Ward is great, which is a huge if, at least they play in the AFC South, and that gives you a better chance than some of these other divisions.
Right. Now, the Titans being relevant, being hanging around, being, you know, playing a game in early December that matters.
Right.
You know, I think that's possible. I think that's feasible. You know, but actually getting there, I mean, if they get to the end of the schedule and they're still around, then the end of the schedule is beneficial. But again, that's why I think it's going to be real hard for them to stay relevant all year. But look, Cam Ward, I mean, if he is what some people believe he is, then I think they're going to, you know, they're going to win more games, and they're going to be a lot more interesting to watch. And the second part of that especially has got to be just something that Titans fans have been desperate for, just a team that's worth watching. Even if you feel like, well, the defense is going to give up 30, so it doesn't matter. If your quarterback's fun to watch and you feel like you have a future with him, then that changes the math tremendously.
Joe, a lot of discussion last week about some comments that Brian Callahan had as it relates to kind of the offseason changes, the emphasis on kind of developing leadership. He went into pretty heavy detail about that last week. You know, they're doing a lot of different things this offseason. He said he needed to make some changes. They're focusing in on trying to be more competitive, and he talked about splitting, you know, his team up into different teams and developing leaders that way. And we had a pretty heavy discussion with Kuharski about that last week. A lot of Titans fans look at it and say, well, this guy is an absolute joke. He has no idea what he's doing at the NFL level. To which, I mean, I understand it. He's, until further notice, Joe, he's a 3-14 head coach. So you're going to get some of that naturally when it comes to that. My position on it was, look, I'm still not convinced that Brian Callahan is going to be a good coach. I do like that he's trying new things, right? Like we talk about growing from year one to year two and how he and his coaching staff are going to have to take a big step. So, like, you know, how often have we run across the coach that just does things their way and is very rigid and this is the way I do things and I'm not changing for anybody? Well, Brian Callahan doesn't appear to be that. I don't know if it's going to work out for him, but where do you come down on kind of the discussion right now of Brian Callahan, some of the offseason things he's put in place and the reaction from some Titans fans last week, which was basically, yeah, this guy's a clown.
Yeah, I think some Titans fans are going to say that no matter what he does. I'm with you. It's worth a shot. I'm not like all excited about this, you know, but I think it probably does speak to the lack of leadership. I think it speaks to, and I'm sure it, to me, it tells me that in his mind, part of the problem last year was that.
Yes.
So the top two, to me, the top two leaders on last year's team that, like, just on paper, one of them tried to rough up poor little Andrew in front of a bunch of autograph-seeking kids because of some stupid tweet. And then the other one, you know, was not good. And so how do you lead if you're a quarterback who everybody's, you know, I mean, you're struggling mightily in front of everyone. So then you look elsewhere. I mean, like Calvin Ridley, it's just, I don't think that that's his deal at all. You know, and some other guys that some of their veterans. So they had a void, and it's coming right off Henry, Tannehill, Byard, you know, great leaders, along with, you know, again, a head coach in Vrabel, who also I think was obviously more established and probably had, you know, had some stuff in place that obviously went away when he went away. I think it's worth a shot. And maybe, I mean, they do need to develop leadership. I also, again, it's like, can you be good?
Right.
Can you do your job well as a coach and give your team a chance to win games and then actually finish those games? You know, I understand, like, right now it's the offseason, so you're trying to cultivate leadership. It's worth a shot. It's still, it's going to come down to me to, can you be a good football team, you know? And I think it's more like chemistry and leadership and things like that. It's a lot easier if you are competent, you know, and you can win matchups and you can win games. But clearly they need to find people. And I just, again, Snead, like some of these guys they brought in who are good players, Snead, Ridley, I don't think really fit the bill. They need to find some of these young guys who, and I think a guy they lost in NWI was an ultimate lead by example guy, and he's gone. And Landry, I mean, you know, Landry was a lead by example guy too. Who are the vocal guys who are, you know, going to be leaders of this team?
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrow coming up later this hour at 7:45. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean will be with us at 8. We'll get into the regionals for Vanderbilt and Tennessee with him. So looking forward to that discussion. Joe is down where the SEC is having their meetings, trying to determine the future of what their conference is going to look like. We'll get into some of that with Joe coming up next. Also, I got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to see Incubus performing Morning View in its entirety, plus the hits with special guest Manchester Orchestra and Paris Jackson coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Wednesday, June the 25th. Be caller number 3-615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. You can win tickets to that concert coming up at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Wednesday, June the 25th. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. This week's Nashville's best deal is 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get half off a $30 gift card to 312 Pizza Company while supplies last. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up here in just a few minutes. Joe is down in Florida where the SEC spring meetings are underway. And Greg Sankey, Joe, already spouting off and going after some other leaders in college football, saying, quote, "I don't need lectures from others about the good of the game." And we all know that he's probably referring to the ACC and Big 12 part of this that have been taking shots at the SEC and the Big 10 about potential college football playoff expansion. They keep bringing up, quote, "the best interest of the sport" is the line that they keep using, and about how they've got it and potentially the SEC and the Big 10 maybe don't have the best interest of the sport in mind. Joe, it looks like we're on the verge of a 16-team college football playoff that's going to include probably higher levels of access for the SEC and the Big Ten coming up. We'll see how that all ends up shaking out. But what do you make of Greg Sankey's comments to this point? What are you most interested in at the SEC spring meetings that are now underway?
Yeah, Sankey took umbrage, and it was my cohort and friend of the show, Ralph Russo, asking him the question about basically – you know, he mentioned those comments that you just mentioned, but also, like, would you, you know, what, how do you balance the good of the game versus the what's best for the SEC? And Sankey, you could see the smoke coming out of his ears. So both of those guys, the Phillips and Yormark, ACC, Big 12, they both said those comments in regard to the straight seeding change, which is a good change. We can all agree. I think we can all agree. I know you and I agree. The straight seeding change is a good move out of the 12. And so now, it's not just conference championships. So like a lesser team last year, the bracket was kind of jacked up.
Stupid.
So, yeah. So because of that, now that does hurt them, right? Like last year, it helped them to have the seeding the way it was, and it will now hurt them in theory, or it would have hurt them last year. So, and I think that, you know, moving forward, there's going to be some years where had you had the higher seed for the automatic champs, the ACC teams are probably seeded higher, Big 12, et cetera, et cetera. So that their point was, for the good of the game, we're doing this. Good. I don't have a problem with that. And yes, I do think it's a little bit of a comment toward the SEC and the Big 10. But let's make it clear who the bad guy is here. Okay. The bad guy here is Tony Petitti, the Big 10 commissioner, who is the one pushing this auto bid thing. For those who don't know, quickly, what the Big Ten wants, and what unfortunately right now, the SEC has not yet rejected, like Dikembe Mutombo, just throwing somebody's weak crap and then shaking the finger, which is what they should do. The Big Ten wants 4 automatic bids for the SEC, 4 automatic bids for the Big Ten,
yep,
2 for the ACC, 2 for the Big 12. Then you have a group of 5, and then you have 3 out of it. First of all, I hate going to 16. I don't think we need to. I like the 12. I don't see why we can't just stick with the 12 and see how that goes for a little bit, but we got to change it. Also, separate from this, Robbie, have you seen, like, the 16 plan is not just like one plays 16. It's like, you know, you have all these buys and you have the early play-in. It's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. But if you do the auto bids thing, we've already talked about it, talk about it again, like, you are saying that this sport is pro wrestling. I mean, again, it would be like Jerry Jones telling people, well, we're the Dallas Cowboys. We bring in more money than any of you other suckers. I get a playoff bid every year. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's seriously what you're doing. You're saying because these leagues have the prestige, more money, they should just automatically get more power. They also – there's a memo, which the Big Ten, and this is Ross Dellinger from Yahoo reporting, you know, where, like, essentially they are, the Big Ten and SEC are going to be dictating the playoff. It just can't, this auto bid thing cannot happen. And of course, it also means, Robbie, these play-in games, which I find to be just
repulsive,
offensively stupid. So in other words, the play-in games, for people who don't know, that's your 3 and your 6 and your 4 and your 5, instead of a championship game on those weekends, you have the 3 and the 6 and the 4 and the 5 play. So this is only for the Big Ten and SEC, by the way,
right?
Because they get the 4 auto bids. So then the 3 and 6, 4 and 5 play each other that weekend to see who gets the auto bids. It's offensively stupid. And it hurts my head to even talk through this stuff. It's already disfigured. It's going to be disfigured to some point, but you can't do the auto bid thing. And what the SEC is doing is they're saying basically through back channels, well, we'll go to nine games if you do the auto bid thing, because now we don't worry so much about losing a big nine game. We'll go to or bigger game. We'll go to nine games. So what do you think? More good inventory, more money. I hate it. Forget that, man. The SEC benefits from not having the auto bids, in my opinion.
They
will
agree.
Have more teams. The Big Ten is the league with a bunch of crappy teams that will benefit from the auto bids, and they want it, and they should not get their way.
Here's what I, you know, we all know that the SEC and the Big Ten are the money drivers, right? Like, nobody's arguing against that. So, like, I understand the financial part of it from that point of view, but also, like, the way that it's played out, and I think the way that it's going to play out to an even higher degree moving forward, is like they're not going to need auto bids. They're going to get plenty of teams. If you go to 16 team playoffs, they're going to get plenty of teams that are represented from the SEC and the Big Ten in those playoffs every single year. And frankly, like if somebody was pushing for auto bids, I'd probably be like, if I'm the ACC or the Big 12, I'd be the one pushing for it, saying, hey, give me two, like give me three, like because we may not actually get that most years with how the money's going with these teams.
Yeah.
Now, I think auto bids are stupid in general. Like, just see the best. If you're going to expand to 16, I hate that. We've talked about that, but they're going there. Like, it's going to 16 at some point. So, if you're going to do that, just seed it straight up and go. Like, that's the way that I would do it. You know. Last week, Joe, I talked about Matt Rhule. And Matt Rhule got a lot of crap for like one part of his comments last week where he was joking about expanding the college football playoff to 40. And a lot of people react to that. If you actually watch the clip, like he was kind of laughing when he said that. But one thing he said later, which I think represents a lot of how these Big Ten teams feel, he said later basically, if you play in the Big Ten, you deserve a chance to play in the postseason, is what he said. It's like, if you play in this conference, you deserve a chance to be in the playoff. And it's like, do we not have any competitive fire at all anymore? Like, is no one competitive in this thing, or do you just want the easiest route possible because you know that you're the ones making the money?
Exactly. It's absurd. Now, listen, I've talked to ADs in the Big Ten and the SEC, and I think a lot of ADs across both leagues would say the same general thing, which is, yeah, it is so contrary to the idea of competition. However, when I look at the finances moving forward and all the things that are happening and the desperate search for money and paying the player, you know, sharing the revenue, if I know that we have that money every year, four bids every year, and I can count on that in my budget, whew, that is valuable. And I understand that. But the SEC is going to, like you just said, they're, so what's going to happen if you don't do the auto bids, which you can't. And if you don't, so the SEC will have some years, they'll have like six teams. The Big Ten will have like three, two, three. That's the reality for the Big Ten. And again, that's why the Big Ten wants this. They don't deserve it. And it's stupid anyway. But it's so much about this for the ADs is just about the finances, knowing that you can count on that money for sure every year. And I'm with you, Robbie. I think you could look at the Big 12 and ACC and say, man, you know, two, and that's what they're trying to sell them is, you know, I mean, if you know you're getting two, because there's going to be some years you might just get one.
Yeah.
But what about the year, though, when Dabo has a great team? What if Belichick does get it going at North Carolina? You know, I mean,
yeah,
you could see a particular year where the ACC has three or four really good freaking teams. And so we're going to screw that so that freaking Illinois can get in. I mean, Minnesota, I mean,
yeah,
just go away. It's absurd, and I hope that Sandy prevails. And look, I Sankey has made it clear last night. Yeah, you know, he's going to keep saying it. Like, he works for the ADs, guys. He's not just here with full autonomy in one person. But I would also still call him the most powerful person in college sports. And it's time for you to talk some ADs into some stuff too. Then, you know, I mean, he mentioned last night some ADs have said to him, "We've already given away too much." He made the point. Four would have been fine for the SEC, you know? I mean, they're still dominating a 14 player. But the thing is, it's disingenuous too, because there's still more money in the 12, right, for everybody. But this is a big moment for the SEC to tell the Big Ten to shut the hell up And no, we're not doing your auto bid crap, and we're going to be just fine. You deal with it.
Oh, it's been interesting. Like, Josh Pate has talked about this from CBS Sports about, basically he doesn't like a lot of things that have gone on in college sports, but like this, does Saturday feel any different, right? Like when the games actually come around, does Saturday feel any different? And I would say, Joe, for the most part, the answer is probably no to this point. I do wonder how long that lasts. Like we're still pretty early into all this new stuff, whether it's NIL or conference expansion. All that. We're still pretty early into it. So I would say no, it doesn't feel that different yet. I wonder if, 5 years down the road, we look at this and we just don't recognize the sport that we're watching out there.
Yeah, look, it's fair. And I'll raise my hand. I mean, I wanted the expansion from four. We argued about it a lot, but I just want it because for whatever reason, four seemed to just make the entire focus the playoff. And so then it's like, well, if that's the case, then you have to have more access. But I hate the 16 thing. I hate this plan of like 16 teams, but we're not doing just a straight bracket. We're doing, double buys and all that. And then you think about putting it in with the NFL games and everything. But to your point, will the sport feel different? I feel like regular season games against rivals and big games will still feel the same. But like, also, what about this idea of these playing games? I mean,
yeah,
it's so gimmicky and just Tony Petitti is an MLB network guy in charge of the Big Ten, and my God, is it showing right now?
Yep, no doubt. 615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean will be with us at 8. All that ahead, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Trust in myself and my mullet, so it's a process, You can't grow a great mullet in a day. You can't win a Big Ten title in a day.
But I think you severely underrate Bush. The best of Bush is very good.
He's a habitual line stepper.
I smoke weed constantly.
We had a love fest. We all kind of gathered around. We hugged each other.
That's illegal, and I'm calling the feds in to shut this down.
It's always my annual trip to the beach where I actually never experience the beach.
It is that time of the day, the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. He's back at it on the program this morning. Joseph, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. So, look, I have to admit, I'm not always the most frugal person. I was the guy who go back to when I had no money, get a paycheck, go to the store to get a pack of gum, and it's like, ooh, Radiohead's on the cover of Rolling Stone. That's only $6. And then, ooh, supersized Reese's Cup, Or you go to the amusement park, and it's like, oh, God, all right, let's get the fast pass. I know it's expensive, but, it's worth it. This is a thing. This is a running theme for me, Okay. Like I spend sometimes when I shouldn't spend. All right. So let me tell you about last week. One of the craziest weeks the Rexroad family's ever encountered. So I had to be in New York for athletic meetings. By the way, I spent some money in New York. meanwhile, young Brennan, he's flying to Elkhart, Indiana with the Raptor Rugby Club Nationals in Elkhart, Indiana. We won big on Thursday morning. So he flies up Wednesday. We win big on Thursday. A few of them jumped on a private plane back. Shout out to our guy, Ty. Graduated, flew back on the plane the next morning. Okay. Then Katie and I start driving to Elkhart. Okay. We lost in the semifinals. Then third place, we win Saturday. Then the three of us are driving back home from Indiana to Nashville on Sunday so I could get ready for this trip to Florida on Monday. So in the middle of all that, we had some nice dinners. Like Katie and I had a nice one, a little creme brulee, a little chocolate mousse, ooh, right? Went out with some of the parents. Now, yes, we'll get that second basket of cheese nugs to go with the fried pickles and the bacon cheeseburgers and the Bell's Opera, okay? So for all that spending, when it comes to gas, I am an absolute frugal McDougal, okay? But I mean, if your gas station, why is this? I don't know. If your gas station across the street is 3 cents cheaper than the one I'm at right now, I'm getting the car, I'm coming over to you, and I'm going to save like 45 cents on the full tank, right? But then I'm going to also like buy up some beef jerky and black licorice and like the soy and wasabi almonds. But by golly, I saved 45 cents on the full tank of gas. Yay. So we're in Kentucky. I'm sorry, we're in Indiana. And I'm like, and the gas is way more expensive in the Midwest for anybody who goes up there. Like, it's a big difference. So I'm like, okay, Kentucky gas is cheaper than Indiana gas. We're going to fill up when we cross the border into Kentucky, okay? So we're a few miles north of Louisville. And the light goes on in the car. You know, 44 miles left. Why 44? I don't know. It is a rental car that also has a window crack in it and it has a leaking tire.
Oh, good.
44 miles. Okay, 44 miles left. All right, fine. We're okay. I mean, it's a couple of miles to the bridge, and then we get into Kentucky. I look up. We pass a gas station, $2.99. $2.99? $2.99 is not bad, but I bet you it's better in Kentucky, right? So we get through, like, you know, Louisville proper, and then I keep looking for an exit. And then there's, like, one, but it's, like, you have to get on a different highway. I'm like, okay, no, we don't need to do that. And then the car goes from showing the mileage left to just low. It just says low. Like, it doesn't show me, like, at this point, I mean, to me, I had about 20 left probably.
Okay.
We'd probably gone about 20. Okay. But 20 miles left, something like that. No, just as low. And then we're in a rural area. And then I turned to Kate. I'm like, we're getting low. Like, we got to get to gas station soon. And then just an absolute idiot. Just an absolute idiot. And long story short, because like I could, yeah, you know, I don't want to bore everybody more than I already have. Pull over to the side. I mean, it's just incredible. And so, obviously they're furious at me, and they should be. I'm furious at myself. And then Katie's like, well, let me call AAA, you know? And I'm like, well, what? Like, I'm not going to, like, there was a sign.
Can you bring me some gas? AAA.
Well, that's the thing. I'm like, well, they don't do that, but apparently they do that. I don't know. But anyway, we had just passed a sign for like an exit. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll just go walk up there, get a gas can. And, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, this sucks. You know, I blew it. And I just start, I just needed to walk anyway. Like, just so mad at myself, like walk up the highway, you know? And then I realized, like, it's like, you know, one of those things where, yeah, there's a sign of the exit coming up. And then after a while, I get to another sign and it's like, exit 1 mile. I'm like, oh my God, man. Oh my, I'm drenched in sweat. And I have another mile to go. So I'm like angry, fast walking for another mile to get to this gas station. I go in. Do you have gas cans? No. Oh my God. So I walk to, you have to like cross this super busy street to go to this other one. Meanwhile, at this point, Katie has called AAA and they're like, yeah, actually we do bring you gas. I'm like, okay. So then I'm like, well, I'm just going to sit here and wait for you guys then. And then they come, but they didn't bring gas. So they just had to tow them the mile and a half to the gas station. And I'm a complete all-time loser.
Jeez,
that's my story. Point is, like if you, it's fine to try to get cheaper gas. It is, it's worthwhile, and sometimes it can add up. If it's a 20-cent difference, it can add up, you know. But like a few cents here and there, and especially if you just go in the gas station and buy whatever crap you see on the shelves, maybe you need to check yourself. But I will say, it was $2.79.
Somebody, Austin and Franklin, said, did you call AAA first or a divorce attorney? Probably a better question for Katie.
I think it's probably good for me that I had to leave immediately the next day. So Katie still.
You just get out of here, please.
Yeah, just leave home now. She actually drove the rest of the way. I always drive. She's like, get in the back seat and shut up. And she drove the rest of the way home.
Wow.
Oh, good Lord.
A tick bite and you ran out of gas the same week. It's a heck of a week for X-Road, man. Good stuff.
Got it. Forgot about the tick bite. Yeah. God, add that on the pile.
Good stuff. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean will be with us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the regionals for both Vanderbilt and Tennessee. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.